You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio. Every Thursday at this time, Prout Financial Design, Traverse City, Michigan, is in to talk about your retirement. Mr. Dennis Prout, good morning, sir.
So good to be in the house. Welcome on a Thursday, 11:30.
11:30, last
23,
day.
23, the last day of November. You got your Christmas shopping done? Hello.
I got myself a Corvette. That's, I'm good, you know. I'm good. I'm not sure what I'll get my wife, but, you know, I got the Corvette, so I'm fine. Just teasing, of course.
I got for that.
Yeah. You know, there's a reason that I'm talking in Corleone language, yeah. So we'll find out momentarily. But first, Heidi Cartwright, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to have a quick shout out. Today's my mom's birthday, so happy birthday, Mom.
You're kidding
happy
me.
Birthday, CJ.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Happy birthday, CJ.
CJ.
So cool.
Yes.
So, can we say her
what
age?
What year?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's a big one. It's 90.
Woo. 90.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic.
So cool. Well, happy birthday, CJ.
How fortunate to have a daughter with Prout Financial Design and do financial planning.
Comes in handy sometimes.
Mother, you do have to take your RMD this year, yes.
Or
yes,
maybe a QCD.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even better. Heidi is an RICP and our own managing director. Great to have you here with us, Heidi.
Thank you.
And then Deanne Jennings, our managing director, or rather director of operations, now that I got that straight. Welcome.
Good morning. It's so nice to be here. And shout out to the studio for getting these comfy new chairs we're sitting in.
Yeah, they're very nice. I really.
They're the no squeak model.
Yes. Right. Yeah. What was that sound? Yes, so it's great to be here. If you do have a question of a financial nature, Ron, if you would.
You can phone us at 231-947-0023, or you can shoot us a text message at 833-728-1140. And I want to do a shout-out to one of your listeners who texted us. We cannot reply to the text. There's a malfunction. But they wanted to get a copy of the Bob Simmons Social Security show you did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That will be on the Prout Financial Design website after it gets through your compliance mechanism.
Right. Correct. So next couple weeks, yeah. Probably absolutely. About a week. We've mm-hmm. submitted them all, and they'll probably come in this week, approvals, hopefully.
They want to share it with a friend in Wisconsin. So just go to proutfinancialdesign.com and then look under the radio show tab. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Also, feel free to call the office at 231-947-3992, and you can ask us if you want to know what's up on the website.
Good idea. Great. Any other announcements we need to make before we get started here? I got to get back in the groove again. I mean, Thanksgiving was off. What were you doing? I was eating turkey. which our son cooked. Oh, my goodness. It was so good. So good. So it's
Nathan?
Great to be back here. Nathan, yes.
Wow.
Indeed. Yeah, he cuts it up, and just because everyone wants to know, into pieces and then puts it on a smoker kind of thing. And he's got probes for each piece know when it's done. Oh my gosh.
I can see that.
Technology rules the world, it seems like. So, yes, there we go. Thank you for listening, and we certainly appreciate it. This week, James Caan's estate owes big tax bill due to rollover error.
You know, you never even buy me a cup of coffee.
Sonny.
Yeah.
Sonny.
That's not Sonny, though. That's the old man. So the Godfather made the IRS an offer it could refuse, apparently. Sonny Corleone shot down again. Estate of James Caan whacked in tax case. These are some of the headlines that showed up because of his history with the Godfather. Yet it is doubtful that the tax court's decision in estate of James Caan et al. V. Commissioner. Yeah, they're going up against the IRS with this one.
Yeah.
Released on October 18th, a little over a month ago, of 23. Was very funny to the heirs of the late actor James Caan, most famous for his role as Sonny in The Godfather. The tax court agreed with the IRS that because of violations of the IRA rollover rules by Caan before his death, the estate owed close to $1
million. $1
million. In taxes and penalties.
Wow.
So that's very different than winning it from the state of Michigan, as you've detailed earlier this week, I think, was someone who won $1 million.
Yes. Yeah, they...
in this case,
they won a million. You know, they took home... I guess it was $1 million spread out over a few years, and they took the lump sum, which was $634 is what they wound up with. So they gave up $366,000.
In return for taking it in present value terms.
Yeah.
So the discounted present value of a future stream of income.
Nah.
Thank you, Dennis, so much. So isn't that interesting? It's probably, $50,000 for 20 years or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah.
That's discounted to the present. It's a lower value. Because it wouldn't take that much, given that you're getting an interest rate on it, just because you wanted to know, to give you that amount of income for that time. So there's a lot of things in relation to income related to that.
Yes,
income. Mm-hmm. It's been quoted in many different ways about the importance of income in retirement. The judge also concluded that the IRS acted properly when it denied Caan's back to this article. Caan's request to extend the 60-day deadline. Now, where am I getting this from? Ed Slott's IRA advisor, hot off the press, December of 23. So this is very interesting in what it can teach us.
Yes, there's some good lessons to learn from this.
Gather around with your school desks in tow. I haven't fit in a school desk in forever. Yes, I know. But, you know, it's really interesting. How did he wind up owing almost $1 million to the IRS and then trying to fight it in tax court, well, his heirs. Well, here's the story. Before his death in 2022, James Caan owned two traditional IRAs. Imagine that. He was a saver on top of being, you know, famous.
A movie star.
Can I interject here now that
yes,
you bring
may.
It up? Just a little trivia. He went to Michigan State University.
Really?
Oh. Majored in economics.
Maybe that's why we got the IRA here.
And played football.
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He invested a portion of one in a partnership interest in a hedge fund. That's where the problem begins.
Oh.
Why? The custodian of his IRAs was UBS, a very well-known custodian. IRS rules require custodians, so the holder of your IRA, to provide year-end valuations of alternative IRA assets. Well, this hedge fund's an alternative asset. They need the value provided to them so that they can provide it to the IRS. Mm-hmm. That's where the problem comes in. Such as hedge funds. In 2015, despite numerous attempts, UBS was unable to obtain a 24-year-end valuation from a 2014 rather, year-end valuation from the hedge fund. Meanwhile, Kane's financial advisor left UBS and joined Merrill Lynch. And he persuaded Kahn to transfer his IRAs to Merrill Lynch. Well, one more problem on top of another. All of the assets in both IRAs were transferred except for the hedge fund, which was significant, which temporarily remained at UBS because it was not eligible for the ACAT transfer, which is a standard transfer form, or activity rather, that is done between different broker-dealers.
Yeah, because sometimes when you have these alternative assets, they aren't. Some custodians are unwilling or they're not able to pass by the usual regular methods that most assets pass between custodians.
Yeah. So in many cases, he could have said, well, I'm just going to leave it at UBS because they, you know, it can't transfer. There would have been other means to possibly transfer it, but it's already... an issue. Because of its failure to receive a valuation, UBS resigned as custodian. They were unwilling to hold continue to hold that asset because they weren't getting a valuation. They didn't want to get crosswise of the IRS. And on November 25th of 15, it made an in-kind distribution of the hedge fund interest to Kahn. So they said, listen, we're not willing to hold it, and thus we're going to send this asset to you, sir. Ouch. So they sent a letter to Kahn in December of 15, warning him on top of that he had 60 days from November 25th to complete a rollover. If he failed to do so, the distribution would be taxable to him. UBS subsequently issued a 2015 1099-R. Tucon, which valued the hedge fund distribution at $1.9 million, which was its 2013 year-end market value. So, one problem, it wouldn't transfer. Second problem, they're unwilling to hold it anymore. Third, they issue him a 1099 and tell him, listen, you've only got 60 days to get this thing done.
And they didn't even use a current value. They had to use a previous, the 2013 value,
right,
because they didn't have that valuation.
So ultimately, was it his fault since they sent him the 1099 and the letter?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
It's his responsibility.
Especially as an economics major.
Yes. Kahn's 2015 federal income tax return reported a total of $2.299 million. Can we just say $2.3 million? Thank you very much. In IRA distributions, including the $1.9 million hedge fund interest. However, can we circle that word here?
However.
Yes. However, he reported only $388,000 as a taxable income. Well, I'm eventually going to get that thing transferred. You know, I'm trying to picture what he might have said. You know, he bought me a cup of coffee, whatever. So the hedge fund distribution was reported as non-taxable. Well, who's going to know? Would the IRS ever find out? I don't know. Ask the guy in the cell next to you, as Ed Slott is very famous for saying. In December 16, over a year later, and well beyond the 60-day rollover period, Kahn requested the hedge fund to completely liquidate his interest and roll over the cash to his Merrill IRA. Well, I can't get this thing done. I'll just tell the hedge fund, you know, you can picture him saying this. Mm-hmm. This is plausible, is it not? Mm-hmm. Come with me, will you, on this story together?
Just cash me out.
Just cash me out, and then I'll just take the cash and roll it over. Why is that a problem, Heidi? I'm just curious.
Ooh, well, there is a couple of rules about that, about rolling things of the same. If you take cash, you put in cash. If you take an interest in a business or a hedge fund, you have to put the interest or in the transfer into the next IRA. So you have to roll over what you took out. If you take stock, you have to put stock in. If you take cash, you have to put cash in that rollover.
Jackpot, a key. If you take stock out, the stock has to go back in. You can't take the stock out of the IRA and subsequently roll the cash. Why does this make any difference to me, Dennis? Because knowing the rules, apparently Mr. Kahn had a very high-priced advisor from Beverly Hills. Did that really matter?
Well, I guess he didn't know about the same property rule.
No.
Yeah.
He didn't know the IRA rules very well, and or he was unwilling to give that proper advice to Mr. Khan. The rollover was made through three wire transfers, between January and June of 17. So it took him that long to get the hedge fund to liquidate the assets. Then he went to roll them over to the Merrill Lynch IRA. Now, why Merrill Lynch accepted those funds, I don't get. I mean, I just don't understand.
It wasn't coming from an IRA.
Well, it was coming from Khan, and there's another issue. It would seem to me that there would be some question about this. Mm-hmm. Apparently, those weren't asked. So it just points up the importance of understanding. If I'm buying a weird asset to hold in my IRA, number one, is the custodian going to be able to evaluate it every year so that I can report it to the IRS? Because there are other ties to owning those kinds of an asset in an IRA or Roth IRA. Beware of the game before you decide to play in it. Now, if I own a mutual fund, that's not a problem. The mutual funds are evaluated every day. If I own a stock and the stock is traded, then the stock valuation is known every day. These are well-known assets where they know the rules of the road.
So if you want to invest in one of these alternative assets or something different, you can always use your money outside of the IRA. You can use your non-qualified funds to purchase those, because the complex rules that we're discussing go with those retirement accounts. Yeah. And so that adds the complexity and the danger of getting a tax penalty.
Right. Yeah. Now, in the alternative, I was thinking, honestly, before we go to the phone call here, we do have a phone call. Thank you, Ron. That I would have... If I were the advisor in that situation, first of all, I wouldn't recommend it, a hedge fund in a partnership. That would have been a non-starter. But if that were the case and someone had come to me, I would certainly seek out custodians who could hold that asset. Given that there were none, let's take a look at what the tax that's owed. There could be worse things. Given the valuation, perhaps there's actually appreciation potential in that hedge fund. So paying the tax now, obviously, in Khan's case, would have been a much better deal, because the amount of the penalty, the IRS had assessed a $156,000 almost accuracy-related penalty for substantially understating his 2015 taxes.
For doing the math wrong.
Yeah, well, I think there was more than math involved there. But anyway, you just see, sometimes you have to pick up the pieces. And paying the price may wind up being the better alternative in this kind of situation. So we have a phone call here, Ron.
We have on the line Wendy calling in Prout Financial Design's New Retirement Radio from Traverse City. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Okay, in about March or April of 23, when I was doing my tax return for 22, I opened an IRA account. But I did that in 23.
Okay.
So that, you know, I could, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 73 now. And my question is, do I have a mandatory distribution I have to take from the account, even though the account was zero on December 31st or 30th or whatever of 2022?
Okay.
What do you say, Heidi? This is a great question. Thank you for calling, Wendy.
The IRA purchased around March or April of 23.
Right.
There was
to use as a 22, I'm assuming. This is a 22 IRA contribution, is it not, Wendy?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right.
Well, since the money wasn't in an account and the account was zero, mm-hmm. the value on December 31st was zero, so there would be, I would think there'd be no
RMD. There would be no RMD requirement.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Yay.
That was my thinking.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, Merry I Christmas. Asked the bank, and they said, well, I think you ought to take it just in case. And I thought, well, do I have to go to the IRS and ask them?
Well, next year you need to take one. So.
Yeah, you'll need to take one next year if it's in a regular IRA. But, now, this is a traditional, rather, IRA?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Now, Wendy, here's another idea. Now, obviously, you know, this is just free advice on the radio. You may decide that you want to convert that to a Roth. Then you won't have to take any RMDs. Mm. Now, you will have to pay the tax. That's the penalty, if you will, for getting a Roth. But you may want to consider that, okay?
Well, I don't have to pay the tax. Yeah, I may. It just, I thought about it. I don't think it'll work out. But I need to make an appointment with you guys to go over a bunch of stuff. So,
be a pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.
Happy to have you come by, you bet. All right. Thanks for the call, Wendy. It's great to be back in the saddle again and hear your questions. It's a lot to navigate. I called Sarah at Ed's Lot this morning.
Yes.
We were talking about this. Mm-hmm. We were trying to remember ourselves. Okay, the simple IRA. What was the question specifically, Heidi? The terminology. I mean, I get so fast into this.
The still working exception. You get for a 401k, does that translate to a simple IRA?
Right.
As well?
And so the question was, you know, I'm 80 years old. Do I still have to take the RMD from my simple IRA because I know I can still make a contribution? That would be the still working exception.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The still working exception is not allowed on IRAs. So this, in particular, this person would have to take RMDs out of their simple IRA, but they could still make contributions to it and take the deduction as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy stuff. Mm,
what was that? What was that from?
That was a call that came to our office this morning.
Yeah.
And so we were looking up the research to get the answer.
Yeah,
for
I was talking to Sarah, one of their experts at Ed's Lot, to find out what's going on. You bet. Sorry, some background.
Another question
on
the text line. What are the general rules of thumb for a spousal IRA contribution? In our personal scenario, my husband is on Social Security, has zero earned income. I am currently working drawing payroll. Can I contribute a spousal IRA contribution for my husband?
And the answer to that is, in most cases, yes. In most cases, yes. It's going to depend on your own participation in a 401k, your total income as a part of that, whether you can do a traditional IRA. Now, the phase-out ranges rather for 2023 are $116,000 to $136,000 for doing IRA deductibility if you're participating, circle the word if, in a 401k. If not, there are no income limitations for IRA deductibility. She might also decide to do a Roth for herself and her husband, but she can contribute for both of them. In either case, if either spouse is working, you can contribute for the non-working spouse. Hmm. Let's say he's 70, she's 62, still working like crazy, you know, whatever that situation might be. If she's still working, she could contribute to his IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, as we've mentioned. So,
Another question for the panel today. What's your opinion of buffered UITs, and do you suggest them for capital preservation in an IRA?
Buffered UITs, Unit Investment Trust. I don't even know what that is, you know? I'll just be really frank about it. It's probably another way to partially hedge the risk of the markets. The problem with hedging the risks of the market is that you tend to give up the returns. I'm not certain what this product is or what it does, so I would need to have more information before I could address that properly. Here
All
on
right.
the radio.
And we go to the telephony. Charlie's in Traverse City. Good morning, Charlie.
And a pleasant good morning, all.
Hey, good morning.
So I just wanted to maintain clarity on what you had just said about taking your minimum distribution but still being able to put it back into your IRA. I'm 70 and still working. I'll be 71 in May. So I'm starting to look at that minimum distribution thing, but I have no intention to quit working.
Okay.
So if I take my minimum, then I can reinvest that minimum and to get the tax break on the reinvestment.
Well,
so it's kind of a net tax wash or no?
Not exactly. So are you in a 401k or in a simple IRA?
401.
So the 401, 401k, as long as you're not a majority owner of the company, more than 5% owner of the company, that would allow you to not have to take a distribution. You don't have to take the RMD out of your 401k if you're still working. That's a still working exception.
You'd still have to take it from any IRAs outside of the employer plan.
Yes.
But not the employer plan, the 401k.
Do you hold IRAs outside of your 401k?
Yes, I hold one outside of my IRA, my 401k rather.
Yeah.
But also, I took a lot of the investments that I originally had in group things and sold those off and bought individual stocks, which I feel has been working much better for me.
Okay.
Does that negatively impact that 401k scenario?
How do you mean? How would that have an impact?
I've always transferred these funds within the 401k, not pulling them out, but have sold off, my Franklin group stuff. Mm-hmm. And then bought individual stocks with those proceeds.
Within the IRA?
Within the IRA.
Yeah, you're fine. It's within the IRA. If the value has gone up, then your RMD is going to increase. But you don't have to take an RMD from an IRA until you're 73 right now. Okay. The year in which you turn 73, you have to start taking required minimum distributions.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like I need to stop in and talk. So thank you very much.
Be a pleasure. It'd be a pleasure for us to do that, to meet you, you bet. 231-947-3992. Just talk with Melissa, and she can set a meeting up for you, no obligation.
All right.
Just to talk about this stuff. In some cases, that's enough, just to know this.
And that's
happy
such a good point, just a reminder of the RMD age that has changed, and it's important to
know.
Yes,
it has. The rules of the road are changing, slowly but surely, and, keeps us all on our toes just to try to keep up with it. But, just trying to navigate this. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more and more complex. Why? Congress is continuing to be involved with it. In some cases, it's becoming, it's making it better for those who are long-term savers because you have to withdraw less in many cases than previous. They're extending the age at which you have to take RMDs. There are more options in terms of Roth IRAs, QCDs, the qualified charitable distributions. How do you handle the tax? If you're consulting not only about your investments, but as we've already learned here, the importance of staying on top of the tax rules.
Right.
As did not happen here with Mr. Kahn, and we're going to broom any more discussion about that.
I was just going to say, at one of our lunch and learns, we had one on RMDs and QCDs. And one of the things we went over about RMDs is that there used to be one age, 70 and a half. Mm-hmm. Now we have four different ages that we have to keep track of depending on when you were born. Mm-hmm. So they took a rule and they've made that rule more complex. So change can happen that way. With taking a simple rule and making it.
Yeah. We all know the bumper sticker and what it says about things happening. Change happens too. We'll just say it that way.
Do you have a quick opinion before the last break on why the market might have gone up steadily since the end of October?
To answer your previous question, the market thinks we're coming out of the recession. Any supposed chance of a recession. The market is predicting that.
Ah.
Are they always 100% accurate? No. But what's interesting this morning, Heidi was telling us that the rates are no longer inverted, and she's going to be or was it me that said that?
I think that was you, Dennis.
Yeah, we nodded. Dennis said that, and we nodded.
See if anyone was listening.
But thank you for the credit.
Yeah. But so we're no longer at an inverted interest rate situation between long rates and 10-year rates. 10-year rates are now lower than the 30-year rate on the T-bonds. Hmm. What difference would that make? Well, when they're inverted, it tends to mean that we're looking at a recession. We may indeed have a soft landing. Interest rates are starting to come down, even though everyone says, no, they're not. Well, guess what? They are. The market is pricing in lower interest rates. By them slowly declining, we know where 30-year mortgages are. They went from 8. They're about 7.4, 7.5 right now. That the indicators are interest rates are trending lower.
So I'm bringing an article to you today from American Funds, the Capital Group, and they had an article on bonds. And so this is just taking a look at what we call fixed income is one way to describe it, in other words, bonds. So usually when we learn about this in school, they teach us that when stocks zig, bonds zag, meaning that if stocks go up, bonds might be down. If bonds are up, maybe the stock market's down. So that relationship, though, has really changed over the past few years. But there are encouraging signs that this may be coming back to what we originally learned. So losses in 2022 were particularly steep. It marked the first year in decades that bonds fell alongside stocks. Rapid rate increases by the U.S. Federal Reserve against a backdrop of some of the highest inflation rates in the U.S. economy that the economy had experienced in more than 40 years caused massive upheaval. And we all experienced that, interest rates going up quite quickly, inflation going up faster than we had seen in a long time. So this was the first time where we had stocks down and bonds down last year. There was very few places to hide or to find some place where you could get actually a positive return last year. So it impacted a lot of us, and we all saw it on our statements last year. So this is starting to change. Higher starting yields, meaning that because the interest rates have gone up, mean higher return potential for bondholders. This Fed hiking cycle has been the quickest that we have seen in decades, and it's likely we'll see interest rate-sensitive segments of the economy soon experience challenges as a result. So what that means is that we are going to see the ramifications over a period of time from that increasing the interest rate so quickly. It takes a while for this stuff to work its way through the economy and to be felt in the different sectors of the economy.
And thus, if interest rates do decline because of the significant increase in cost in the economy, that would generally mean then that bonds come up in value. So the bond funds that you hold, you'll see those prices come up for those respective funds if you do indeed hold bonds. And we've seen that for the last month in the range in conservative bond funds, 2 to 3% in share price in the last month alone.
Right. And I always think of this as the lemonade coming out of last year, because it's really nice to have the option of picking maybe a more conservative bond and get an actual return from it than how low it's been over the previous decade.
Right.
So the Fed's actions have continued to loom large as it raised rates by a total of 100 basis points. And what's that in regular?
That's a percentage point, and that is a huge increase. Slowdown. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a slowdown from the year before, where they had a 425 basis point increase in 2022, but still higher than the Fed and markets expected coming into 2023. So it kept moving forward. A peak of 9.1% of inflation in June of 2022, inflation still remains elevated at 3.2% as of October. So this article was written earlier this month. So the Fed always has put out there in their speeches, their goal's like 2%, I believe. Mm-hmm. But we're about 3.2 now, which is a lot less than 9, where we were a year ago, but still elevated.
Yeah. Much of the conversation or the talk is that the Fed's going to adjust their goal rate from 2 to 3, that they may well indeed say, listen, we're okay with an inflation rate of 3%.
So the article continues and asks the question, when can bond investors breathe easy again? And the author notes that the Fed has opted to skip rate hikes for 2 consecutive meetings this fall. So that means when all the Fed guys get together and they have their committee meeting and they decide if they're going to raise rates or not, the last 2 times they had those meetings, they decided not to do anything. So the market takes note of this. And that could be an indicator. They think that could be an indicator as what's coming for the future. Given growth has been more resilient than most expected, interest rates, though, are may remain higher overall. So even though we have these indicators, they're thinking that we may not lower interest rates quite as quickly as some people expect. So that has to be kept in mind, because the economy is still has some positive indicators out there that it's recovering.
It does, you bet.
Can I ask a loaded question?
Yeah.
No, when we talk about the interest rates haven't been raised, evidence it could be a soft landing and all that, mm-hmm. and politically the president will say that's Bidenomics. Do you and I think Bidenomics is throwing money into the private sector. The infrastructure bill put a bunch of money out there. The ARPA mm-hmm. bill put a bunch. So do you think that has that had an impact on what you're talking about?
Well, yeah. When you've got too much money chasing too few goods, it's a really relatively simple recipe for inflation. So many would say that's a primary reason of this significant inflation was all these dollars being flowed into the economy from the federal government. And some people even say it was probably too much. Mm-hmm. We don't want to say that too loudly.
Right.
But, there's been a lot of conversations about that in terms of how much money really did flow in. It was significant, mm-hmm. trillions and trillions. And it caused some real upset. So when the Fed does get involved to that degree, they generally tend to mess up the economy and insert themselves too strongly into that economy. It causes disruptions, and this is one result.
Okay. All right. So I just want to make this one point, because I thought it was the most important point of the article, and I'd like to hear Dennis's view on this. The author says, after the end of previous Fed hiking cycles, bonds have typically posted strong returns in the subsequent 12 months from a total return standpoint. So what does that mean, Dennis?
That means that both from the yield in the bond and the appreciation from the bond's increase in value. That's what we've been talking about. As interest rates trend lower, bonds tend to increase in value. So not only are you getting perhaps an interest rate on that bond, most likely maybe 4 or 5%, but if you're getting another 3 or 4 from appreciation from that bond, mm-hmm. obviously then you're at 8 to 9% or so in a total from a total return standpoint.
So historically, that's been a good time to invest in bonds after mm-hmm. we've had this increasing rate cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I thought that was one of the important points of this article. And it's just like, hey, we haven't looked at bonds a lot in the past, but maybe now's a good time to start thinking about it and looking at the opportunities on that side of the market.
Some very respected market prognosticators are calling for this, and that's why we think it's important to talk about this. Not only what's happened badly in the past, where's the potential in the future for our investment dollars? All right, so Deanne, stats, please.
Absolutely. In regards to the market,
ooh. What's going on here?
Little feedback.
I didn't like the market.
Yeah. I'm not even sure your mic is on properly here. Are we hearing
testing
you okay?
1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah. There we go, there we go. That's better. Okay. Thank you.
In regards to the market, the bulls, not the bears, had much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving as major U.S. equity indices urged off their October lows. In the first 3 weeks of November, the S&P 500 was up 8.2%, which is the third best start in the month since 1945.
That goes back a ways.
It does go back the ways. The NASDAQ surged 10.4%, which is the third best start on record, while even the Russell 2000 rallied 7.3% for its fifth best start on record, and that source is bespoke.
You know, isn't this amazing? It almost makes you speechless because how negative everything was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it shows, again, we can go back to April of 2020 when everything was so negative, and then the market turned around for its best April, I think, best month, rather, in 30 years at mm-hmm. that point. Yeah. So trying to gauge what's going to happen based on history.
Talking about April being a good month, that goes into our next stat. Since 1945, the S&P 500 has gained an average of 1.55% in December, which is tied with April for the best month of the year. One caveat, two of the three Decembers where the S&P 500 was declined over 5%, both occurred in the last 5 years, negative 9.3% in 2018, negative 5.9% in 2022, and that source is Bespoke. And as of December 31st, 2022, a total of $37.8 trillion was held in U.S. retirement plans and accounts, of which $26.3 trillion was in employer-sponsored plans and $11.5 trillion was in IRAs, and that source is CRS Reports.
Is that $37.8 trillion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Was held
That's
in
always
U.S. retirement plans.
So close to what our national debt is.
I mean, it makes you nervous.
That. Yeah.
If that's connected or just a weird coincidence?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm. Because there was a congressman one time who said, we could pay off the debt, we'll just take everybody's...
No, they never said that. Oh, my gosh.
Who needs retirement plans?
They're looking with jaundiced eye at those things. You know, you get it. Isn't it interesting? So, you know, it points up the importance of taking care of these things because the dollar amounts only continue to expand. So understanding the rules of the road and how to draw from these things. If you can get even portions of this right, it's amazing how it can influence your overall wealth over time. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to these things, as we're finding out with the questions here. That's why we, in fact, how much time do we have here, Ron? Deanne was asking us, I'm going to put you on the spot here, you know, about classes she could attend next year and said, pointed up the first one she wanted to go to was the Ed Slott Elite Advisor class. So, you know, we're talking about that. It's important for all of us just trying to stay educated. And we get that. That's what we're doing. But we also understand that, man, it is important to you. This is key, critical information to try to navigate and profit, hopefully, in the end from that knowledge.
And we try to pass that on to all of you. We with our Lunch and Learn program, which will start back up next year in January. So you can check our website in the coming weeks, and we'll have next quarter's topics. And if one of them interests you, please come and join us.
It's so true. Your retirement is important to you, and it's important to us.
You bet. I'm talking, I have the next class coming in January. It's about New Year's resolutions and how to make the most of those possible resolutions you might have already made or consider making in the new year.
All right. We'll be back next week. The gang from Prout Financial Design, New Retirement Radio on WTCM Traverse City, Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, and Deanne Jennings. Thank you.